Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin's End. Thank you guys for hanging out with Pip and I. Joe was supposed to join us, but I don't know what Joe's doing. I guess I put Joe in the mood with the old Blue Oyster Cult porn. So he just wants to, you know. And Blue Oyster Cult has some long songs. So, you know. Who knows what Joe's doing?
You know, who knows what he's doing with that information, but I really don't want to visualize that. I love Joe and all, but not in that way.
In 10 minutes from now, Joe's going to be like, God, this windshield's so dirty. Is that on the inside or the outside? But anyway, I digress.
Get the scraper.
Get the scraper. Ooh, it's spoogey. All right. Speaking of spoogey, Utah. Utah, that fun state that it is.
What a great segue that was.
It's the only type I did, baby. Great segues. That's what they call me. The great segue kid. Yeah, it's funny. Joe does fucking two podcasts today, but with the third one that he's actually part of, he doesn't make. That's Joe for you, though. Anyway.
Oh, don't be bitter.
I'm not bitter. It's nice. I can breathe. It's like I don't have a 300-pound ape on my back. It's nice.
Just the imaginary one.
Yes. Well, no, Joe's very real. Anyway. Conservative lawmakers in Utah, and really isn't that the only type they have abandoned the proposal... Have advanced a proposal, that would automatically block pornography on phones and tablets sold in the state, a move that critics have blasted as unconstitutional. Governor Spencer Cox has not publicly indicated if he supports the bill, a spokeswoman said. He will carefully consider the measure, up and down, carefully considering slowly, just the tip of the measure, before a March 25th deadline. Supporters of the state Senate proposal claim that restricting explicit material helps parents protect their children, many of whom have their own devices and are spending more time online during the coronavirus pandemic. Adults would be able to turn off the filters just as they're getting turned on, if they chose. Lawmakers in the majority Mormon state have previously ordered warning labels on pornography, declaring it a public health crisis, only if it gets in your eye, or you don't use lube, in 2016. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have railed against pornography in a conservative culture that sometimes considers mainstream magazines and lingerie catalogs offensive. I see a hint of a nipple. To hell with you. Phone manufacturers and retailers claim filters to be too difficult to apply, and a single state successfully lobbied for a provision that would only allow the bill to be enforced if at least five other states follow suit. If the measure signed into law... Utah would be the first state to mandate filters on devices. Federal restrictions aimed at preventing children from watching porn in the 1990s were struck down in the courts. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation said the bill would help parents who have trouble managing filters on their children's devices. Utah has passed a critical common sense solution to help protect vulnerable children from accessing harmful pornographic content on phones and tablets, Executive Director Dawn Hawkins said in a statement. A child that wants to find it and tries to will probably be able to still. It's just one step in the right direction, said Republican Representative Susan Pulsiver, the bill's sponsor. Pulsiver claims the move doesn't violate free speech rights because adults can disarm the censors. Some advocates disagree. You've basically got the state mandating the filtering of lawful content. That raises immediate First Amendment flags, said Samir Jain, policy director at the Center of Democracy and Technology, a Washington, D.C.-based internet policy group. Wording of the bill could apply to any device, quote, activated in Utah, meaning it could be used to track the location of anyone passing through the state. And you certainly don't want to be tracked while your pants are around your ankles. That's a bad time to be tracked.
Definitely.
The filters could also be used to block works of art, educational information, scientific facts about sex, and said Mike Stabile, a spokesman for the Free Speech Coalition, an adult entertaining trade group. Hey, that doesn't sound like Free Speech Coalition doesn't sound like they're all into porn, but there they are. Emily Rothman, yeah. A Boston University professor who studied the issue, said that content filters can help protect children from being exposed to graphic images, but comprehensive education is the best tool to promote healthy sexuality. A bill to expand sex ed in Utah failed to pass in the state legislature this year and go, no, pretend it's not happening, you can't see this, you don't see boobs. Parental filters already exist, said attorney Jason Groth, of the American Civil Liberties Union of Utah, and every Utah parent can decide the level of access for their children. So at first, when I first read this on first glance, I'm like, well, that's actually a pretty good law, because as a parent, I'd like to have some control of what my child is watching. But then I did a little bit more research, and you can already activate those controls on the phone. And, you know, controls on the phones are not the only thing. Like for HBO Max, you could put you could put restrictions on people watching it. I remember when I had PlayStation 2, you could, like, put restrictions, like, for DVDs and all. So it's not really that new of thinking. But if the ability to censor is already there for a parent, then I don't think we need a law.
Agreed. At first I thought, wait a minute, this seems to be overreaching and underperforming, because, as I just said, kids who are really looking for it can still find it.
By the way, overreaching and underperforming, worst porno ever.
It was very disappointing and underperforming.
Yeah. I mean, you hear overreaching, go, wow, everybody's going to get involved. But no, sadly, no.
No, there's a problem with the law, in that it can reach over into adults. That should not be happening. It's sort of a little control-y of what people are allowed to watch on the web, which I don't like control over over the internet at all.
I've stayed in hotels where they will not let you access certain websites.
What?
Yeah. So, like, if you had to do research for what was the game we used to? If you had to do research for Name That Orgasm, and you were away for the weekend, and you thought, all right, I'll sit down with my computer, I'll download some porn, I'll go to the porn sites and do it. You couldn't do it in some hotels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. At the workplace, the old place that I used to work for a long time, they had put restrictions on what we could look up, and for a little while, it was the beginning of, they had a website, and I'm not a webmaster per se, but I could do a rudimentary website to just get some information up there, and there were some items that I needed to put up, and I was restricted from going to those websites because, like a health website, if they mentioned breast anywhere, it was like, oh, nope, not
Chitty,
for you. And I'm like,
no.
Say again?
I said titties, no.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that, stop talking about what your tattoo says. The thing is that it just seems to be too much of, like, government creeping in and telling us what to do at that point. I do like that there are parental controls, because I don't want, you know, my imaginary kids looking at porn. I want to be able to control that, because I think it's too much for little minds. But, you know, especially if it's, I mean, there's some stuff out there that's like, wow, you really shouldn't have those pictures in your head yet. You're not, I mean, as you know, as a 50-something, I shouldn't have those pictures in my head. But but having government control it, not a fan.
See, like, as long as the phone companies are giving you a way to control it, there's no need for a law. If the phone companies had no current way to do it, I would entertain it more, because I would see the need. I would understand. That your kid might be smart enough to clear cookies. Most adults aren't, but your chances are the kids are so, like, just the other day, it was like last night, I think, my wife, because my daughter's phone was charging, so my wife went through the phone. She's going, oh, no, nothing, all right, nothing inappropriate here. And I didn't say anything. I'm like, well, she could delete the cookies, but clear the history. But I didn't say anything. But I think most kids are more savvy than we are. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if my wife knows that there's a parental control on the phone. I didn't know about that until this story. So.
Huh. Well, she's IT, but not necessarily phone.
She's not IT anymore. She was IT. Now she's like a software engineer or something. I don't know.
But she used to. I wasn't aware of the upgrade.
She's doing quite well.
Well, the thing is that it would be one thing if you were having a problem and you know you're no. See, I was just saying, you know, I was just starting to say, if you're having a problem that your kid is this is an individual problem, and you have to problem solve in your own family. But having the whole world, this is coming from a state which is basically controlled by the Mormon Church, and the Mormon Church has special underwear that you have to wear to be more godly. These people are a little more, you know, tightened in than your average person in this country.
But if that's
like, I don't want them controlling what people are allowed to see or do.
Yeah, but if that's the majority of the state, then they have every right, as long as it doesn't violate the Constitution. They have, you know,
that's not all of them.
No, but if you have the majority, I mean, you
yeah. Well, you know what? Then let their church talk to them about how to set parental controls on all of their devices, but statewide, no.
No, that's right. That's they should have these discussions with parents. You know, you don't need another law. I mean, you could just get the word out, put some PSAs out there. Do you think your kid's going to go blind prematurely because they found Pornhub? Well, we have a solution for you.
Just have a school-wide hairy palm check.
Sure. Do you think Junior's special underwear is around his ankles a little too often? We have the solution for you. I mean, there's workarounds. So as long as there's a way. As long as there's a way where if you are of the mind to prevent the minor from looking at things that they should not be looking at, I got no problem with it. But don't make a law. Don't make a law when we got the ways. All right. So so Joe has finished with Blue Oyster Cult. He has squeegeed.
Lisa in our chat has called that the Blue Clam Cult.
Well, I don't know how Joe goes. I don't know if he likes clams anymore. Who knows? And I'm not going to judge. It'd be very illiberal of me to assume that Joe likes clams. Joe might be the next Captain America. I'm not going to judge Joe. Joe. I'm very open minded. But I will say he's had his cigarettes and he's ready to participate. And what a perfect time. We're going to talk about slavery. And if there's ever a segue for Joe Curry, it's slavery. I feel like we need
his... Oh, no, stop!
What, you don't think Joe's an expert with the masters?
No, well, I think that as the formerly known as the most racist person on the show, that you should be satisfied with my performance and participation.
Yeah, but I feel like you don't put enough legs into the whippings. I feel like, and now with your aforementioned on the break back injury, I feel like Joe gives us that certain amount of panache of the crack of the whip that we need, you know. And I feel like Joe's just more of a natural. I feel like you know, you are the most racist person on the show. I would never take that crown away from you. But
Thank you.
I feel like sometimes you had a battle in an inner dialogue where I have no qualms with Joe. I know Joe is fully supportive of it. So,
well, you know, it's like you know, with my, I have to say this slowly, bulging discs.
Wow,
I can't quite put myself into it quite the way I used to.
Is that a bulge in your back, or you just happen to see me? You're a chiropractor. I'm fucking thrilled. It's killing me.
What really confused me is I have more than one bulge.
Wow. All right. That's not hot at all. That's fucking gross.
It's painful is what it is.
Now you got bulges and fucking inflamed holes. It's a fucking mess. Really? Yeah, I mean, really, they should put like a fucking disaster tape around you. That's what they should be like.
I do wrap caution tape around myself daily. I was talking to Mr. Helix about this recently, and I was saying how on the show you what we say that I ruin everything. Because we were having a conversation where it started to get sexy, and then I ruined it, and I'm like, I am the ruiner.
You're the ruiner. You are the ruiner. Like, here's what really needs to go on, especially now that Mr. Helix isn't doing the radio. What really needs to happen is we need to have cones around you, and Mr. Helix needs to be waving people around. That's really what needs to happen when you are out in the public. That's what should be happening. Just have you
say that that's That's not happening.
Just have you off to the side of the road, but not completely. Like, your ass is still in the road a little bit. Put cones around your ass. And Mr. Healy, do you need help? No, no. Used to this. Happens all the time. She's bulging. Go around. Go. She's got a fissure. It's okay. We'll take it. Go around. Go around.
She had another blowout. Yeah. You know?
It's a mess back here. Trust me. We need a professional. I appreciate the offer. Go around. I feel like that's what Mr. Hillix needs
to
do.
We need a professional.
We do. We're going to need professional. Oh, no. We can't have any of these weekend mechanics, any of these weekend chiropractors and proctologists. We need somebody who's seen a thing or two. Like, you know, farmer's insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Like, I feel like that, you know, we need a finger or two because there's a fissure or two. You know, I feel...
Boom! Oh, not again! Oh,
yeah,
Christ!
Yeah, like I feel like Google Earth would like fucking zoom in and just see like bunch of like innards on the road because you had a blowout. Like I
clean up on aisle Helix,
and there's like Mr. Helix, like a combination of sad and yet dismayed at the same time. Like he's sick of this nonsense, but you have the health insurance, so there's no fucking escape. You know.
Well, Lisa said clams, bulges, and blowouts. Oh my!
Not a bad name for a segment title, Lisa. Not a bad name at all. Very good. I think.
Yep.
I think you just named segment two, Lisa. You've earned your keep.
I think you did.
You've earned your keep. You may stick around for segment three, and you will not be banished and forced to ride a broken pip. All right.
That's a little much to ask any of our fans.
So what I'm going to do now is I am going to. Hang up with you, and then call you back,
okay.
And call Joe back, and we shall reconvene. None of you people go anywhere. We'll still be on the video. We'll still be on the video, but there'll be a pause in the audio, and I may not edit that out. I don't fucking know. Probably not going to edit it out. Probably not going to. There'll probably be something that annoys me, and I probably won't do it. But there's a possibility I may. You don't know. Depends how long it is to get you and Stupid all cleaned up. So entertain them in the chat room, make some funny faces, and let me get this shit underway.
Okay.
Work. There we go. Joe, you there?
Yeah.
Hello, Joe, and Pip's there, and
hi.
Joe's doing his fifth hour of radio. Fucking show off. Look at him. But this is the first hour of free radio that Joe is doing. So you got that going for you. So you had to pay to hear Joe,
yeah.
But now you get to hear Joe for free. And best yet, you don't have to see him on Zoom. So everybody wins.
Why? What's going on with the Zoomy?
He's not home yet, stupid.
I'm in my car.
Oh my God. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
you could do a radio show in your car, but you wouldn't even look at me while I was trying to creep in front of you in traffic?
All right. Enough.
There's a difference between the show being done and driving home in 2 hours of traffic.
All right. I'm going to do School of Fools. Dummy up, you two. All right, so we got not one, but two stories of Whitey fucking up in school. Whitey having a position of authority in school, and thinking outside of ye old slavery box to teach the kids a lesson, because that's always a good time to do in slave. Go, you know what? Here's where I'm going to get creative. Not in arts and crafts. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do something special with the macaroni art. We're not going to do that. We're going to get funny and funky with slavery, because that always works well. It never goes badly.
Funny and funky
with slavery.
Yep. Because you know where people want creativity in their education? Slavery. That's where people go, you know what? If we could just have more freestyle slavery teachings, our kids would be so much better educated. Go on, teachers with experience. Fuck around. See what you come up with. What could possibly go wrong? Apparently...
Definitely see what people are going to think of you now.
It's a good way to monitor the situation. I wonder if I'm well liked. Well, funny you should ask. Here's our first here's our first slavery teacher story. A Mississippi middle school. First of all, no, Mississippi, you got enough problems. You know, the black people in your state have enough issues. You don't got to give them another reason to get pissed off at you. And really, honestly, Mississippi, everybody should focus on spelling because you have a very difficult state to spell. But anyway, I digress. A Mississippi middle school.
Yeah, really.
Mississippi Middle School is taking heat over a slave letter writing assignment that asked a group of mostly white students to discuss the journey to America or tell about the family you live with. Well, I'm white. It was good. We had first-class accommodations. We have all these black people that do everything for us. It couldn't be better. I don't think that's what they were. I don't think that was the assignment. But that's
God, I hope not.
The assignment at Purvis Middle School also gave students the option to write about, quote, how you pass your time when you aren't working. Having my wounds fucking heal, you animal, you. According to a report by the Daily Beast. What do you think I'm doing? Pondering how I could pick cotton more rapidly? What do you fucking think is going on over here? I don't know how a logical person teaches this, Jeremy Marquell, a social media manager for Black Lives Matter Mississippi, told the outlet. Do you really have to go to Black Lives Matter to figure out how this could be a problem? Do you really have to get them involved? I'm pretty sure there's plenty of white people that go, yeah, this ain't going to work out well. Anyway, like someone who went to school to teach children could think this exercise was helpful in any way. Now, in their defense, they had to go to Mississippi to teach. So, maybe not our best. It's not helpful. It's hurtful. Jerry Adams, president of Young Democrats of Mississippi, called the assignment extremely tone-deaf and inappropriate. Again, you can't find a Republican who's going to fucking say this shit? I mean, really? You could probably get Ted Cruz to go, you know, as soon as he got back from Cancun, to go, no, this isn't a good idea. I mean, you could probably get Ted Cruz to do this. If I were a parent of a student in the classroom, I'd be pissed, Adam said. There are proper ways to educate students about the history of this nation. This was not one of them. The school in the Lamar County School District did not respond to requests for comments from the Daily Beast. But in a letter to parents obtained by the outlet, middle school principal Frank Bunnell acknowledged the assignment was part of an 8th grade history lesson and apologized for something like this happening under my watch. You know, I feel bad for these principals. Like, you can't fucking treat, you can't trust these teachers to do anything. I mean, do I have to have my eye on you every goddamn moment? Are you an 8th grader or a goddamn teacher? What's wrong with you? But
I know. It's like, okay, I'm going to take over the class today. I'm 13, so we're going to talk about titties.
Now, that would be more appropriate. But he said the outreach. He said the outreach took the assignment out of context. No. There's plenty. Outrage is justified.
It could be taken out of context because when I read the story. If the kids were taught the indignity of what the slaves went over, and there was whole lessons before this assignment, and the key word into context is before this assignment, then it would be interesting to see how would you feel if you were a slave, because you see what they went through, and this way they could kind of see for themselves and get kind of an experience what they went through, which is a teaching point. If this was before that, then there's a problem. But I think it's, and we had studies like that. And when I was in social studies, where they would the teacher would give you the lessons on a point in history. How would you feel if you were one of them? What would you feel? And now you're actually you've learned about this, and you're giving your feelings on it, and which I think is a teaching moment. So, in context, that's what they might mean when exactly this assignment was.
But hold on. I understand what you're saying, and I haven't even gotten through the whole story yet. And I understand, but here are some quotes that I read, and I will discuss the journey to America. You were kidnapped and sold. It wasn't like you were on Norwegian cruises. Discuss what it was like when you were kidnapped and sold and transported to America.
But what I'm saying is, if the teacher reviewed the squalid, the squalid conditions that it was, where a lot of slaves didn't even make it because of the deplorable conditions inside the ship. If they're describing the journey, these kids could use what they learned to describe how horrible it is.
How about this one? How about this one?
Race, you know.
Tell about the family you live with. Nay, I'm not living with them. I'm a fucking slave. I understand what you're saying, but wording is so fucking important. If you tell about what your life is like as a slave, okay. Maybe. Maybe. Again, I don't know if I'm doing this with eighth graders, but maybe. But tell about the family you live with. Like that, like you're a foreign exchange student and it's a host family and you were away for the summer. No! That's not what happened. Families were torn apart. These people were foreign. I'm not living with the family.
But what I'm saying is that at the content, if it's a point in the story that you've already learned that and they're giving you a point in time where saying, well, what about the family you lived and you've learned with maybe some slave owners were nice, maybe some slave owners were not nice. And this was whole, and this was part of the curriculum being taught before the story was assigned. So in my opinion, it's when this assignment was given. Was it before extensive teaching on the subject, or was it ham and egg? Whatever it was.
Who are they writing to, Joe? Who are the slaves writing to? The people that they know are already there with them, and they have no idea where the rest of their family is. Who are they writing to?
Because if they were taught how the indignity, how the slaves were treated, you're trying to find out if the kids are absorbing this stuff.
I don't think the teacher absorbed it.
But if you're asking them to do an assignment and they're writing this, you're seeing how much they absorbed of this. And if it's really hitting home.
You know how you do that, Joe?
What a great trip on the ship. They're going to write, of what they went through.
You know how you do this? No, but this is how you do it. It's not that hard. Tell me what your life is like on the plantation. If you've given all that teaching, tell me what your life would be like on the plantation. That's what the assignment is. Not dear mother, day 36 on our journey. My tum-tum was a little queasy as we seem to have encountered some weather. I hear Virginia's lovely. I can't wait to pick peanuts. That's not what this was. I understand what you're saying, but the wording and how they, it's just fucking stupid. You can find, you don't need them writing letters and describing it this way.
Well, I think that I'm trying to look at this from the position of being a teacher. And I think that there's, the assignment was worded poorly, but I see the value that, like Joe was saying, about saying, a lot of times in therapy, they're like, write a letter. You're not going to send the letter. It's not really, and don't jam it in an envelope and post it someplace. It's, you are talking as if you would be talking to somebody who you know and love, and you're trying to describe it. So it's a way to get people to get into the mindset to describe it as if you would, tell it to a loved one.
Right.
Listen.
Right. I believe that this was after the lesson was given.
I would hope.
I've learned a lot about the Holocaust in Hebrew school. I learned a lot about the Holocaust in college. Not once did they write a letter if you were in a concentration camp. We never had that creative writing assignment. They tell you what's going on. You could see movies about it. You know, the teacher could tell you. They could find out what you think about it. They don't do, this is not a place for creative writing.
But the thing about it is, and using your example, if you're teaching a class and you're teaching them about the horrors, are these kids getting it? Give us a story about a family. You're a young child and your family was separated by the Nazis. How do you feel? How are you going about the day by day? Because it's giving them a minute to think about it. You have to write this down. It's not a true or false answer on a test. You have to sit there and think about it and go back to what you were taught and to give, to give your feelings on that. And that's something that'll stick with you for the rest of your life.
If you're going to recreate the teaching of slavery, you better fucking word it a lot better than this. So, yeah, it was worded awfully. Even if the principal says, the intent was in the right place, but it doesn't excuse this. I don't give a shit about your intent. I talk about this all levels of life. I cannot stand incompetence. So I will give you the, I will give this teacher the benefit of the doubt, as you have. The benefit of the doubt, they're trying, they've taught the horrors of it beforehand. They want to see if the children have absorbed it. I'll give you all that benefit of the doubt. The wording on this is atrocious. And so, therefore, you don't get the fuck up in Mississippi about slavery where you have one of the few schools which is 80% white and there's a few black kids in there. You know, you want to walk this tightrope, you're walking it without a net. You don't get the fuck up. Now, I don't think this teacher should lose their job. I'm not saying anything of the sort. You got to do better. If you want to reinvent the wheel on touchy subjects, you got to do so. It's like you were in the Holocaust. Oh, so you had to take the gold teeth out of the dead Jews and give them to the Third Reich. Tell me a day like that was. No, 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 no. That's not how we're doing this assignment. There's other ways to learn about it. There's some things you just don't get creative with shit. There's some ways you can get creative with things. When you're on the frontier America, tell me what an average day would have been like in a wagon train. Okay, that's cool. Tell me what an average day would have been like as a pilgrim. Okay, that's cool. Don't tell me what the average day for a Native American on the Trail of Tears would have been like. I don't want that fucking creative writing assignment. Because there's some shit where you don't get to put in what you think it might have been. There's just some shit like, this is what happened.
I'm tempted to not pull in my driveway. My neighbors next door are teachers. I'm tempted to knock on their door and go, you're on a radio.
Listen, Joe, to be fair, they'll just be thrilled you're not on the roof. So,
that's true.
I don't know. It is ham-handed the way that some of these questions were worded, but I can really see the value of having kids, you know, having them put themselves in the place of people who have been in difficult situations, right. Terrible situations, and so that they get it, you know, that they're not just
then
skimming over the numbers of people that
then
came,
be on point.
You know, where they came from and stuff, but. Like,
right, and you don't want the answer is it true and false, you know. You
but
want
be
the,
on point.
To sit and think about this.
Don't give me. Tell me what's like with the family you live with.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like that was incredibly poorly worded.
My neighborhood's going to think I'm nuts because I'm talking outside. But if part of the curriculum was what was the family life on the plantation like? How were the slaves treated? If you went through a whole curriculum on how some families were nice, some families were not, you go, well...
No. Hold on.
Took out of a whole bunch, Davin.
Hold on. None of the... First of all, none of the slave owners were nice. They were less awful. They were less
how
awful.
How do you know that? How do you know
because
that?
Because you're owning people!
Keeping people!
Because you're keeping people, because they're not equal to you. There's nothing nice about that. Slavery is inherently evil. Now, were there degrees of evil?
But here's the deal: if you're running a plantation and you need workers, and yet obviously the slaves, but you are a nice person in general. There could have been plantations that they were treated nicely. There could have been plantations that were not. It might have been in the lesson plan, and this was one of the questions pursuant to the lesson plan.
Was there a plantation where the slaves were paid a wage for the work they did? I've never read about that plantation. Every plantation I've ever read about is they're working for free.
It's just being paid the wage. It's how they were treated by the family when they were on the plantation. What were they like? And if it's one question out of many on that, a part of the curriculum of that lesson plan, it would make sense that they put it on there. I mean, you know, it would...
I
gotta turn my lights on.
Slavery
I'm gonna still be here.
Slavery is inherently... Hold on.
It about the white people.
Yeah.
Were they nice white people that owned other people? It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
You know, like, you start with the base understanding, and this should be part of the class, that doing this at all was you were bad people.
Yes.
And maybe in the times they didn't understand that, but we know for sure now, and I mean they should have known, that owning other human beings is dead wrong. So the family that you live with is a terrible question because it does make it were the white people nice to you in your imaginary scenario? No, they weren't. They owned me. No, they were not nice to me at all. I don't care if they threw me extra bread. They were not nice to me because they owned me.
Pip, I got to disagree. As a woman slave, it was so nice when the master would come and fuck me. That was so nice. Such a loving, tender master that would come and fuck me. Stop it. Slavery is inherently evil. Yes, there was less awful people owning slaves. Absolutely. Not every master was created equal. There were certainly some that were a lot more heavy-handed with the whip than others. There's no doubt about that. But it's like, oh, were you a good Nazi or a bad Nazi? You're a Nazi. You're bad. There's nothing good about you. Did you free the Jews? No, I didn't free the Jews. Then you're bad. Did you buy these people after they were kidnapped and brought across the ocean and free them? No. Then you're bad. You're bad. Now we're just arguing about degrees of bad, and this is not a creative writing assignment. Again, I take the point that you and Joe have where you could see the positives. I get it. But if you're going to execute it, you have to execute it way better than this. You better be a lot more on point. You know what? If you wanted to go over, say you were writing a letter for someone to find. Tell me what an average day was like for you as a 12-year-old on the plantation. Tell me, and then you would have some who said they worked in the farm and others who said they worked in the house. You go, all right, you're going to work in the house. We've learned about what it was like working in the house. You're going to, okay, now this class, now at age 12, this is where you were sold to somebody else. You're going to tell me what that experience was like because we've learned about that. You need to guide them more. I hear you with the empathy and all, but this isn't so much creative writing. You need to guide them. We're going to divide the class and tell me what it was like. You're out picking cotton in the 90-degree heat. What was your average day like? When were you waking up? Were you given breaks? Did you get to see your family? Were you with your family on the plantation? Now you can get into it. But don't tell me, oh, master was good to me. As Pip said, he gave me extra bread. Nah, they're fucking bad people. All right.
Yeah.
But you can't judge them the way we judge them now. I mean, I'm not judging the people then as I judge them now, but the institution is evil. If you're part of an evil institution, you're fucking evil. All right, let's move on. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Joe's in his house. I could hear the echo. Soon we'll be hearing the clap as Joe turns on the lights. All right.
You already did that.
All right, there you go. All right.
Pay attention.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you fucking clap.
I heard
that. Okay. So now we go to Pennsylvania. A Pennsylvania high school teacher has been suspended over an unacceptable assignment in which students were asked to answer if slaves were profitable. Officials said, why wouldn't you? The South Fayette Township School District said Wednesday it had suspended an unnamed social studies teacher after reviewing the controversial homework lesson, a news station KDKA reported. As part of the assignment, 10th grade students were told to imagine themselves as retired captains in the British Navy and ask, is the slave trade profitable? Nah, I did for shits and giggles. It's a fun hobby. It was very uncomfortable because I was the only person of color in my class and I had to work with other white students. Junior Aaliyah Emanuel, who had been given the assignment the previous year while in the same teacher's world cultures class, told the outlet. One of the students who received the homework assignment brought their concerns to the administrators, KDKA reported. The district said they had been previously unaware of the project. Once alerted to the existence of the assignment, the administration reviewed the assignment and met with the teacher. The district said in a letter to parents, after taking these steps, it was determined that the assignment is inappropriate, offensive, and unacceptable. The assignment will no longer be used in any class and the teacher has been suspended. Further, we will engage in a systematic process to ensure that any of the other appropriate assignments are identified and removed immediately. So in the first story where I could kind of give you leeway what the teacher was going for, just bad execution. That's why I said the teacher doesn't deserve to be suspended or anything like that. You just have to do a better job. There's no defending this. Was it profitable? Was it who the fuck cares? Of course it's profitable. Was it profitable or are you just a fucking maniac who likes to transport other human beings into slavery? What is the point of this assignment? Imagine you're a retired British sea captain. Arr! And you're just having a pint at the pub. Was it profitable transporting human beings? What is the fucking point? Yes, this teacher should be suspended because the judgment is so awful. This isn't like, all right, the heart was in the right place, but there was bad execution. We need to rework this. This is just what is the point, dude? What is the point?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, on the first story, I still are under the contention of that it was after the lesson and the way that, you know, and the questions out of many. Now, on this news story, are you out of your fucking mind? What kind of margin are we running on slave trade? Are you out of your mind?
Joe!
I'm not just taking a knee-jerk reaction to both stories. I did it some, you know, and I read the first story yesterday, and I'm like, all right, I've got my points on this. And then I picked up this one. I'm like, are you out of your fucking
Joe,
mind?
Joe, no! Joe, we're just looking to run a business. It's just businessmen chatting. How to increase our margins. How to keep our losses down. It's not an easy business. Joe, we're just trying to build a better slave trade.
Are you out of your fucking mind? The first story, I'll debate you till the cows come home. But on this one, are you out of your fucking mind?
Really? That's like if you want to make it a more modern lesson. Well, how about sex slave trafficking? Is that profitable for the people stealing women and selling them to other countries
Yes!
to be violated over and over again?
Yes!
Is that making you money?
Yes, that's why they do it. Yes, it's a very simple... That's why they do it. Nobody gets into the slave trade because it seems like a fun way to make a living. You're doing it because you're making a shitload of money. That's what... You're barely feeding them. You're stuffing them all in. It's not like they're getting their own fucking suite in your fucking slave ship. You know, Jesus... Of course it's profitable, you fucking morons. What a stupid... It's stupid on a business level. It's stupid on a social studies level. It's stupid on a common sense level. You know, this teacher should never get a fucking job again. Not because this is so horrific, because I can't have people with this bad judgment in front of minors. I can't have it. Give me the village idiot.
Like I said, the first story, and like I said, we could literally debate till the cows come home on this. But this one, if the slave trade is profitable, leave out the whole horrible and immoral shit out of the equation. Are we running at least a 25% margin on this? I mean.
Now, Joe, to be fair, I found I saved money on fuel, which was made from whale grease, ambergris. I found I made more money when I starved the slaves before we departed, because I found that the fat slaves really made the engine go, take more engine. I don't know if they had it. Maybe it was a fucking sail. I don't know. The wind had to work a lot fucking harder. I really did a lot better. I got to port a day earlier when I had thin slaves. So, Ahab, I suggest you starve the slaves for a few days and then you depart. That's what you do.
it's unbelievably stupid what a question, because it's like, well, let's see, they didn't make money doing that, so why the fuck did they do it?
Because I'll tell you why, Pip. For love of the game. Not everything's about money. Sometimes you gotta follow your heart. And transporting human beings across a fucking ocean to give them to white people for slaves is just my passion. And gosh darn it, I'm not going to apologize for that.
I just love that. I love stealing people, taking their lives.
I like the way you make that sound. It's like when people go to us, why do you do spots for free?
Well, you know, Joe, I feel like if I just make a couple of these runs, you know, or transport slaves, I'm going to get a lot of exposure that way. I feel like if I can just get the positive exposure, I'm going to get that sweet captain of the slave trade gig that I'm really looking for. Like, I'll be on the couch, Seymour, who runs, the Daily Planet over there, he does a little article, he's going to interview me because I've gotten so good. So I'm just going to do a few of these for free. You know, I'm going to bring, here's the weird thing, though. I have to bring a couple captains with me every time I run the slave trade. It's like a bring your captain show. But I'm doing it for love of the game. I really think you should see the white people when we get there. They're so happy to see us and everything. I do it for the love of the game. It's really a craft, and I understand it's not profitable now, but I feel like if I just keep on transporting human beings and bringing them to slavery, it's going to pay off in the end. I feel strongly.
I just wanted to know if there were any non-for-profit slave trade companies.
Well, I mean, listen, listen, like I said, you start out, you don't make money at first. It's a hard industry. It's really not fair. There's no rhyme. Listen, I haven't shipwrecked once. I mean, I bring these slaves, I bring them in a day early. They're malnourished. Their spirit is crushed. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do as a captain. I barely feed them. But one of these days, I'm going to get the break and work for these big companies that transport slaves. I just know if I stick with it. That's what the assignment's about. Right, Teach? That's what you want to know. Ugh, kill yourself.
You really, when you're writing out a lesson plan, you have to put into it also, what's your objective? I want to read what the objective line was.
Here's the great thing about being a teacher. You know, you do this, you can retire. You know, much like being a cop, you know, you earn your pension. You can retire after a certain amount of years. So he's just brainstorming, just spitballing. Like Joe and I will do about a script or a joke or something. Just spitballing to see, is this profitable after he's done being a teacher? Can he become a slave trade captain? What do the kids think about it? What are the he's just spitballing, just wants to get some opinions. That's all. Don't be judgy about it.
Well, I wanted to get into the business now.
Don't be judgy about it.
Who are you to judge me if I'm following my heart? You know what they say? They say, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And gosh darn it, I love transporting human beings across the ocean and selling them into slavery. It's just a passion of mine. I don't do it for the fame. I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for the glory. I do it because I'm doing God's work. That's really, look, you can read the Bible. There's slaves all over the place in the Bible. That's why we do it. So really, the only reason we're having this discussion is I want to weed out the captains that are just in it for the money and the ones that are doing it for the right reasons. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to weed them out. And I'm sorry if you teachers and school district don't understand it and don't see my vision. I'm sorry if you're stuck in your own little fucking perverse way of viewing things with your blinders on. No, man, I'm a free spirit. I'm looking at the whole world. Let me be me, man.
it's doing something elite, you know, that's a more, it's almost like saying, all right, you're a bunch of retired drug dealers and you're living in Colombia and you're just sitting around talking and you discuss, is selling heroin profitable?
Pretty much.
No, I just sell it
on the cartels, you know.
I know, I just do it for the love of ruining people's lives.
Have you ever seen a septum that's been deteriorated from years of cocaine use and their nose just bleeding? There's nothing that hits me in the heart more than a septum. Have you ever seen somebody that's so addicted to the good stuff that they sell everything, including their children, just to get another taste? I do it for those people, for the love of the game, Joe. Why do you even have to ask me? Look into my eyes. Can't you see this is my passion? Fuck, I'm going to start a podcast about being a drug dealer. Right after I do my podcast about being a slave captain, I'm going to be filthy with podcasts, and Joe's going to come on and promote his Fragile Sky gig. Sure, he's not a big fan of being a slave captain, but he's got a gig to promote. So Joe's going to come on, and we're going to talk about slave captainy things, and then at the end, he'll put in a Fragile Sky plug, and all will be good.
But let me tell you, as of the past couple of days, that fucking ship is the only place I haven't plugged this fucking show.
You will. Give me tomorrow. Tomorrow there'll be a new. I'll start a new podcast. Slave Captain. What could go wrong? And you'll be my first guest, just like you were my second guest on Davin's Den and became a fixture. That's what we'll do with What Could Go Wrong with Slave Captain. We will bring you on. We'll see how I feel like it plays to your strengths, and then maybe we'll bring Pip on later on. I'll just start another podcast, because that's really what my true love is. That's my passion.
Oh, we can give it to Chip and I'll rewrite the whole thing. But
well, that was very inside and accurate. Yeah, I don't see your vision of slave captaining. You know what? Let's write the ship and the slaves out of it. But anyway.
Very inside, very funny.
Yeah, that's just for me and Joe right there. as many of the show jokes are. But anyway.
Yeah.
But he's had a long day, so why not? All right, let's do some Gen X. Fox News wants you. Actually, me. I'm the only one who's Gen X on the show. They want me. I got to get up and fucking help Fox News. And this is what they said.
Ahead Plus, cancel culture is spreading like wildfire. There is now a call for Generation X, that is X, to lead the charge to save America from the social media mob. Can they do it?
Yeah, turn your lonely eyes to me, Mrs. fucking Robinson. Gen X, we're going to save you from cancel culture. All right, so they put that out there. There was an article by author Matthew Hennessy for the New York Post calling on Gen X to fight the cancel culture that has become a constant right-wing talking point. They're all out of love, especially on Fox News. The article said that millennials are to blame for all the canceling. The only article only talks about liberals who want things canceled. There's no mention of the right wing who want things canceled. So liberals and conservatives have always had plenty to fight about, and the 1980s were no different. But this was something both sides actually agreed on back then. Did they? Say your piece, speak your mind, and agree to disagree. Really? No. We are living through an era of intelligence-insulting national debates. I agree there. We certainly are living through that. Does Mr. Potato Head erase the existence of trans teens? I'm going to have to look into that. Do Dr. Seuss Sneeches perpetuate systematic racism? Maybe. Is it okay to let kids watch Gone with the Wind? They don't want to. What about The Mandalorian? Does saying there's two sides to every story make me a racist? Well, it depends on the fucking story. You know, if we just did the story about, you know, the sea captain story, you go, no, that's cool. I totally got why you would want to talk about the profit margin. You might be a racist. So two sides to every story, it depends on the fucking story, stupid. In a weird way, the existence of the Soviet Union was good for American democracy. We spend a lot of time comparing ourselves to the Ruskies, and the superiority of our way of life was obvious. Due process was better than show trials. Personal liberty was better than state tyranny. Free speech was better than censorship. Reckoning with history was better than erasing it. Kids stop learning what Gen X and every previous generation learned in high school. Free speech is good for everyone, except those I disagree with. Witch hunts and moral panics always end in terrible injustice. Not always. Blacklists are un-American. Well, that's true. Instead, they started learning that speech could be violence and purges could be heroic. Victimhood is currency, and sending someone to the gulag makes you feel superior. Joe, go to the gulag. I want to see if that last point is true. I'm going to send you to the gulag and see if I feel superior. I'm not saying that the 1980s were some kind of paradise. Tipper Gore launched a censorious crusade against popular music. On the list of filthy songs compiled by her parents' music resource center was, "We're not going to take it." How is that a filthy song? Anyway. Whatever. By Twisted Sister and She Bop by Cyndi Lauper. Now that's a filthy song and delightfully so.
Yeah.
Believe me when I tell you that every teenager in America was horrified. Not every teenager. All the cool kids protested and jeered. Not at Twisted Sister and Cyndi Lauper, as they might do if the woke mob called for it, but at Mrs. Al Gore, who was obviously sticking her nose where it didn't belong. What's more, the artists who were targeted by the PMRC fought back, and just about everybody agreed they were right to do so. Again, not when everybody agreed. Dee Snider didn't apologize for having given offense and slink away like a pathetic spineless slug, because he's Dee fucking Snider. he waltzed into Capitol Hill conference room, looked him straight in the eye, put on his mascara, and said, in not so many words, told him to back the fuck up. Then he got in his tight pants and sashayed that tight ass out of there. You know how long it takes me to curl this hair? Anyway. Senator Ted Cruz shared a link to the story, and naturally Fox News picked up the cause with a direct appeal to Gen X. Gen X, your only hope. Many Gen Xers were quick to point out that the prime Fox News demographic today were the adults of the 70s, 80s, who attempted to restrict or ban everything from rap and heavy metal music to video games to Dungeons and Dragons. That, combined with the generation's proud indifference, led to a swift reply on social media suggesting that Gen X is sending the Fox News call straight to voicemail. So I'm going to read some of these tweets. There are some of them. Gen X is trending because Fox News thinks we are the ones who can kill cancel culture. Laughs in 2 Live Crew, NWA, and Sinead O'Connor. Yes, remember how we had to cancel Sinead O'Connor because she ripped up a picture of the Pope? Again, I'm not supporting it. I'm not saying it's a good idea or I support it. But I don't think it was the libs who were trying to cancel Sinead O'Connor. I wanted Sinead O'Connor canceled because I didn't like her fucking music.
Oh, she was awful.
If there's one...
Oh, no, I don't agree.
Well, that's fine. If there's one thing Gen X loves, it's being told who they are and what they should do. Sorry, but Generation X grew up listening to our stepdads rail against political correctness while calling Sinead O'Connor a bitch and trying to ban rap, so we're kind of over this shit. Hey, Gen X, you're here. I'm still a little pissed at what Tipper Gore did to my CD covers and how the religious right told parents to boycott blue jeans who supported the Boy Scouts for hiring gay leaders. Gen X here never has a quote less understood the actual Gen X vibe. We literally can't be bothered. Gen X is old enough to know that boomers created all they now decry. That's true. Fox News. Gen X needs to step in and stop cancel culture. Gen X, remember when you all tried to cancel Bart Simpson and Murphy Brown, though? As a Gen Xer who grew up poor under Reagan, I know the real cancel culture is conservative. I've seen them try to cancel food stamps, unions, Social Security, Medicare, heavy metal, hip-hop, Dungeons & Dragons, video games, and even French fries. Kiss my Gen X ass. As a Gen Xer, LOL, no, I'm not going to save America from a fictional panic that keeps peddling because they want to say bigoted things without consequence. I never do this, but Dungeons & Dragons, horror movies, Twisted Sister, the entire genre, rap, boomers tried to cancel a shit ton of stuff when I was a kid. Why as a self-respecting Gen Xer should I care what you think about cancel culture? So it goes on and on. All right, as the only Gen Xer here, a couple things. First of all, fuck you, Fox News. Fuck you, Fox News. And here's why I say fuck you, Fox News. To think that you, like, issue, like, a call to action on, like, a generation we're going to do it. Here's the reality. Generation X is like every other generation. We're not cooler than every other generation. We're not more indifferent than any other generation. We have people like me who see through all the fucking bullshit, which is why we have a big segment now called Outrage Against the Machine. And there's people in my generation and Generation X who gets fucking wrapped up in this shit just like the baby boomers did. My fucking peers who used to get yelled at to get off the lawn are now screaming, get off my lawn. But this is a smart move by Fox News for one reason. They realize their demographic, boomers, are dying. They realize who they appeal to. They realize younger people, for the most part, don't give a shit about Fox News. But they realize that Gen X, my generation, we're slowly slipping into that warm sitz bath of outrage against, it's different, I'm scared, I'm cold, it's loud, she's a whore, I don't like her makeup, those pants are too tight, those pants are too baggy. It's a smart move by Fox News, because they understand pretty soon they're going to have to sell dick pills and heart pills to my generation. It's a good fucking move, but as I said, my generation's not fucking any cooler. It's not, oh, we can't be bothered. No. Some of us can't be bothered. Just like some baby boomers look at this shit and can't be bothered. It's just a people thing. It has nothing to do with ideology.
Well, basically, with the Gen X's, I mean, they march to the beat of their own drum.
No, we don't. But Joe, that's what I'm saying. No, we don't. My peers continuously disappoint me. My peers continuously respond.
Well, the reason why you feel he might, and the reason why Fox reached out to him, I mean, your generation is in their 40s now. They've got kids, they've got mortgages, and with the responsibility of earning a living and trying to save as much as you can and trying to pay the less taxes as you can, trying to, you know, get your kids set up, you start to get more of a conservative view or a different world of different view of the world that you had when you were in your 20s. You're not as rebellious or, you know,
Joe, these people responding on Twitter are saying, no, we haven't lost it. What I'm telling you is, yes, you're right. Yeah, as you get older, you get more conservative. But
hear me out. If that's what they're saying on there, that's fine. But I think what I'm saying is this is what Fox's interpretation of what the R would probably be. And I guess Fox is finding out that's not the case. But you would figure when you're in your 40s, for those reasons given, they probably figure you might have more of a conservative view towards things. Now that you're paying taxes, you're trying to save for your retirement, you're trying to save, put your kids through college. So your views are definitely changed more than, you know, you have different views than you did when you were in your 20s. And Fox figures they probably would try to reach out on that and make an appeal to them. And Gen X turned out to be Gen X on it.
No, but see, I think you're giving Gen X too much credit. So, like I said, my peers continuously fucking disappoint me about how
Well, why do they disappoint? Why do they disappoint you? Why?
Why do they disappoint? Because they live. They live the same fucking experience I did. We're canceling Two Live Crew. We're canceling Sinead O'Connor. We're canceling Twisted Sister. They live that shared experience with me. Now they're the same ones complaining about WAP or Mr. Potato Head. They're the same fucking ones. That's why they disappoint me. They didn't learn any fucking lessons. They're just fucking getting old, like every other generation is. That's why they disappoint me. So the people that respond to this Gen X thing, we're not cooler than anybody else. I'm fucking cooler than a lot of people. Some of these people are, but trust me, there's a lot of fucking Gen X that is yelling, get off my lawn, and gets wrapped up in these stupid culture wars.
And that's what, and that's why Fox reached out to them.
Yeah, no, it's a good move.
Basically, they're getting my lawn. As a matter of fact, from the story that we did last week, in regards to Eminem and Generation Z wanting to cancel him, and the millennials hit the fucking roof over it. It just shows you that even the millennials are starting to enter the earliest
yes.
stages of the get off my lawn culture.
Yes, and that's my point. That's my. I understand. Here's my critique, and then unless Pip has something to add, we'll move on. The article was fucking ridiculous. The article written in the Post has a nostalgic view of what growing up in the 80s was, and thinks it's just liberals who did this shit. Nay, nay. Fox News was fucking smart because they see the writing on the fucking wall. Fox News was smart to appeal because, as Joe pointed out, and I point out, people are going to gravitate that as they get older. Gen X, you know, I happen to have some of these attitudes, but it's not because I'm Gen X. It's just because of the way I'm wired. People who I grew up with, who I'm very close with, are the opposite of me. You know, they were outraged by fucking Cardi B. They're outraged by the Super Bowl halftime show where I just go raise an eyebrow. I'm the kids. That's what they like. It's not for me. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Gen X, we're not fucking special. Gen X likes it. Oh, we were so put upon. We had a different upbringing than other generations, but we're not immune from growing into crotchy old motherfuckers. So Gen X needs to look in the fucking mirror. Look at your fucking.
Hey, you know why you throw my generation and his generation and the baby boomers.
Well,
I mean, we rebelled. We smoked pot. We rebelled against our parents. We played a lot of rock music. We, you know, we did LSD. We did all this stuff. And now we're the okay, boomer, which is very insulting because basically we were our generation was very rebellious.
Yeah.
You know, we were the counterculture.
You were. And now look at you. No, I'm not letting baby boomers off the hook.
We got mortgages. We got kids. We got, you know.
You know what?
College.
You know, listen, I got kids, I got bills to pay too. We all have the fucking stresses, which is if you're really dealing with those stresses, you don't have time to worry about a wet-ass pussy, unless it's your wife or your mistress. Yeah, I mean, you really, if you have all these stresses, which are very real, Joe, and your point is well taken, you don't have time to worry about the fucking Grammys, because you're an adult now, and there's real things to...
I understand that. It's like we were discussing last week, I was even thinking about it during the course of the week. Is that I think, you know, you have the alcohol. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, we had Madonna, we had all this stuff. But for the simple fact that you have a song of the year that's called Wet Ass Pussy, and then you have the dancing that goes on there, just for the simple reason that everything else is being canceled around it. You can't read this book. This is being canceled. This is offensive. This is offensive. And then we have to sit and watch this. It's like, well, why aren't you being held to the same standard, especially in this woke time now where everything...
Well, the answer to that, the answer would be that as we are woke and women are empowered, you are not going to like next year's Grammy Award winner fisting anus. You should not tune into that, Joe. You are not going to enjoy that at all.
It's coming.
That's the follow-up hit, Joe. It's coming is the follow-up to Fisting Anus. But, you know, it's
a great punk rock band name.
No, Joe. Back in my days, we had wholesome punk rock, like the Ramones and the Clash. We didn't have Fisting Anus. No, Joe.
Saying nice songs with a rebellion.
Yeah. Why can't they rebel nicely?
I think Anal Fist actually is a punk rock band.
I hope so.
Of course it is. It has to be.
But, you know, that's the problem with these kids today. They just can't rebel nicely. If they would just be more polite when they rebelled, everything would be okay.
Rebel politely?
Yes.
You know, And I get it with the generation. Look, I was driving down the street one day, and I see these kids, and I'm like, look at these thugs. And I stopped myself because, and there was a picture on Facebook, I even said it to you, that when I was that age, I had hair down to here, I looked like a fucking degenerate, I had an army jacket and all this shit. So I told myself, and I go, really, you know when to talk. You look probably worse than them.
You were a degenerate. You threw M80s at human beings. You didn't just look like a degenerate. You were a degenerate. And you grew up into a semi-respectable human being. Let kids be kids.
Yes. So who am I to judge? And when I see these kids walking down the street, like, really? Look, no. You were just as bad.
Well, the fortunate thing for you is you're a little bit more self-aware than a lot of people. Which is why I don't get caught up in that shit either, because I'm self-aware. I get it. I used to get shit from my family because I had hair down to the middle of my back. It was a mullet, but I had hair down to the middle of my back, and I have an earring. I got shit. You know, everybody gets shit. You let kids be kids. You let them find their path. If you're worried about wet-ass pussy, then you don't know how to make it wet ass. You don't know how to make a wet ass pussy. And apparently you got nothing else to worry about. If you're worried about 4 Dr. Seuss books that nobody's fucking reading anyway, then I guess everything else is gravy. Pip, do you have anything to add, or shall I move on to Captain America?
No, I'm anxious to talk about Captain America.
Okay. So we will first we'll play the stinger, and then I will play the story.
Books, TV, the internet, movies, everybody's pissed about something. Welcome to Outrage Against the Machine.
This is maybe my favorite, most upsetting story of the day. I have mixed emotions about this, is because it's just, the country's going bananas. We now have a new teen Captain America, which by all accounts, he is a gay Captain America, complete with a nose ring. Tats, when he takes off his skull cap there, he's got like a mohawk thing. He's not very muscular. What has this world come to, Grace?
Now, see, I was really thinking about this story all day, and I realized that it's wonderful. I'm all for inclusivity, and I think it's wonderful to, you know, bring anyone into this superhero world that you want. But what I find amazing is what would really be pushing the boundaries is if maybe they had a conservative superhero or a Trump-supporting superhero. That would really require the left to be extra tolerant of other people that they disagree with.
Well, Grace, you realize we got one. He's on at 8 o'clock every night at Newsmax here. We already got one of those superheroes. No, I only wish I was a superhero. Boy, that would be fun. Not a superhero like that, though, I don't think. I'm going to pass on that one. Grace.
All right, that was from Newsmax. So what's going on here is, to celebrate Pride Month, Marvel Comics will introduce a new gay character that will take on the prestigious mantle of Captain America. Aaron Fisher will make his debut in the forthcoming series, The United States of Captain America, which will see a group of Steve Rogers' closest friends go in search of his famous shield. On their journey, they'll meet others who have used the name Captain America to better their communities. Teenage Fisher, despite not having any powers, protects homeless youngsters and will be the first ever LGBTQ+ character to be Captain America. Aaron is inspired by heroes of the queer community, activist leaders, and everyday folks pushing for a better life, said writer Aaron Trujillo, adding, he stands for the oppressed and the forgotten. I hope his debut story resonates with leaders and helps inspire the next generation of heroes. Captain America, thanks largely to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is an iconic character known all around the world, so this bold new direction for the Captain America brand is a welcome step and another example of the superhero genre being more inclusive of the LGBTQ+ than any other areas of popular culture. Depressingly, this inspiring move for Marvel has been met with derision from the American right wing. If you research for tweets about the story at the moment, you'll see a mix of many people who are delighted with the news and others who can't believe what they're hearing. My word! Take, for instance, the pro-Trump network Newsmax. And if there's nothing gay sounding about Newsmax, who in a news to the max, who in a segment on the story asked, what is the world coming to? Next they'll play anal fisting and claim the United States is going bananas, I tell you, over a comic book character being gay. We really shouldn't be surprised that conservatives are so up in arms. Oh, now we get a little, now the article takes on a little liberal slant here, just so you know. We really shouldn't be surprised that conservatives are so up in arms about this and willing to take such tasteless remarks, but it did get us thinking about the history of the Captain America character and why certain sectors of society weren't as vocal when Marvel made much more controversial decisions. Let's take you back to 2017, St. Olaf, and a comic event called Secret Empire, which will probably go down as the single most controversial Captain America story ever. To cut a long story short, it is revealed during the arc that Rogers hasn't been the proud American who stands up for what's right at all. He's actually been a secret Nazi agent working for Hydra, just like Joe. A more extreme offshoot of Hitler's party and his arch enemy all along. That's why you never know where Joe's coming from. Is he really Captain America, or is he really working for Hydra? Don't let that little fucking do-rag on his head fool you. There was a strong backlash to this story from readers who petitioned Marvel to reverse the changes. Really, we're petitioning about comic books now? That had been made to their hero. There was further controversy due to the anti-Semitic connotations of some of the series covers. Well, it's about the Nazis. It's not going to be flattering to the Jews. Furthermore, the storyline emerged not long after Sam Wilson, a.k.a. the Falcon, was named as the new Captain America. The backlash against this decision was even greater than we have seen against the gay Captain America. The likes of Fox News and Breitbart were up in arms about Wilson being a more liberal Captain America, whereas some couldn't comprehend that the iconic hero could be a black man. My word! He can be a bird, but he can't be a captain. Some even suggested the decision to make Cap a Hydra agent was in reaction to racist backlash. In a piece for Tablet by black rabbi activist and writer Shais Rishon titled, "The New Nazi Captain America is the Hero the Bigoted Comic Book Fans Deserve," he wrote, "People can accept a 90-year-old World War II veteran kicking and punching everything into submission just because he was frozen a block of ice, or that men completely naked from head to toe in silver can traverse the universe on a surfboard, but let a black guy become Captain America? Yeah, he's got a point. I mean, really, that's a little much. A gay Captain America? A little fucking much. I mean, a black one? Too much. Too much. Give me the 90-year-old that's been cryogenically freezing. That makes sense." While conservatives were happy to be angry about a black man being Captain America, there wasn't much uproar about the character being a Nazi, despite fans hating the story. We don't want to draw conclusions, but the optics aren't great. Eventually, Cap was restored to his normal self, and it has mostly never been mentioned since. The story was even mocked during the Avengers Endgame, but it's not been forgotten by fans. Some have suggested that those upset about the gay version of the character might have preferred the more right-wing incarnation. They did the whole storyline with a conservative Captain America, and it was widely hated. All right, here's the thing. I was thinking about, does this matter? Does it matter if Captain America is good or bad? Then I got to thinking, you know what? If I had an LGBTQ kid, or I was LGBTQ, plus, I gotta add the plus, I don't even know what that is. This is like one of the fucking coolest things. Because Captain America is an iconic character. It does say America. It's a pretty cool move by Marvel Comics to do it. And if you hate it, I gotta question how you really feel about gay people. Because it is just a comic book, and I know it's a multi-billion dollar thing, but at the end of the day, it is geared to kids. So once again, if you're getting all riled up about gay Captain America, what's wrong with you? Isn't there a pussy that you could be dry vacking? Isn't there something else you should be worried about? Well, who would possibly get upset unless you're a bigot about a gay Captain America?
Well, I wonder about that too.
I think it's just company pandering to a certain minority of the country, you know, just to feel good about themselves.
No, they're trying to sell comic books.
I could care less what they're doing. But I think that there's so many companies just bending over backwards to pander to a group.
Is that how gay Captain America would bend you over, Joe? Would he bend you over backwards, or would he bend you over forwards? How do you envision Aaron Fisher bending you over as he fights crime?
But like I said, it's just another example of, you know, these companies pandering.
Joe, it's not pandering. It's called fucking selling merch. It's doing what we all fucking do. It's called capitalism. That's what they're doing. Go, hey, we can get these people who may not feel included to buy our product. That's all it is. It's capitalism. It might be altruistic. I don't know what's in the heart of the people who create Marvel Comics. But just from a business sense, anybody who rages against this looks like a douchebag. It's really a can't-lose situation because it's for kids. And if you don't want to include all kids, then you're an asshole.
Oh, but there's tons of grown-ups that are into this stuff. Mr. Helix works for a company that sells the comics and all of the merch that comes attached to that. And this is big fucking business.
No, I understand.
One of the things it occurs to me is that along with the comics, there's always, you know, like action figures and stuff. And if you're one of the guys that collects these action figures and all that, if you have a problem with a gay action figure, I just want to remind you that you're playing with dolls.
That's a very good point. I know plenty of adults are into. Listen, I enjoy the movies, but at the end of the day, It's superheroes. It's for kids. Well, you know, like at the end of the day, if you're doing cosplay, you have to be willing to laugh at yourself. Go, you know what? I'm not as cool as I think I am with these Princess Leia buns in my hair. You know, at the end of the day,
No, that's fierce.
You're absolutely
don't
right.
You mock the Leia.
Here's what's like. I never thought about superhero sexual orientation, but that's probably because I'm straight and every superhero I was aware of was straight. If you're a gay child or a gay person, you're probably hypersensitive to sexual orientation, and you notice that there's nothing here for me in that. Now, you still probably enjoy the heroes and the villains and all that stuff, but you probably notice, much like, you know, people notice, hey, there's not a black Barbie. You know, you start to notice these things. So again, it's a good business move. I don't see the bad part. And if you're railing against this, What is so empty in your fucking life that this is on your radar? This is just ginned up to cause outrage for the worst among us. Really, that's what this is. Because most people are like, I don't give a shit, or they think it's cool. That's really where you should fall on the spectrum. Go, eh, whatevs. I don't really pay attention to this shit. Or, hey, that's pretty cool. If you're outraged by this, you're really a sad, lonely human being. You really are.
Yeah. It's kind of sad that this would cause outrage in this day and age, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's causing outrage because basically it's on the religious right with the conservatives. So for them to have that, you know, and they're just watching the sort certain things in pop culture being altered to a certain demographic, and they're not happy with it, you know. And
you know what? Yeah, I take your point, but maybe they should worry about their fucking priests and televangelists fucking diddling kids, and raging against, you know, gays, and then fucking secretly getting blown in hotel rooms by men. Maybe they should take care of business before they worry about the Marvel universe. I take your point, but they got bigger fish to fry than gay Captain America.
Yeah, I take your point too. You're absolutely right. You know,
yeah.
Usually the ones that speak out are the most hypocritical, you know, so, yeah. I mean, it's a fucking cartoon. It gives a shit.
Yes, that's my point. That's my point. Either who gives a shit or that's cool. I'm fine with both of those reactions. Who gives a shit or that's cool? If you're angry about this, then you're a fucking loser. And really,
also just to add one thing on that, Dad, also, you know, you have your freedom of choice. I mean, if you see the magazine, you know, if you don't want your kid to read it, you don't buy it.
Absolutely.
Unless you buy it. You have the choice. You have the choice. And in the way things are going, certain choices that we have are being taken away, are slowly being taken away for us. So, it's a two-way street on this. So, in this instance, you know, it's already gay, whatever. You know, if you like it, buy the magazine. If you don't buy it.
Let's be honest, kids. We grew up with the first gay superheroes. Batman and Robin of the 60s TV show. Definitely a little gay. I mean, with those get-ups, you know, Dick Grayson sliding up and down the pole. I mean, yeah, I mean, I know they played it straight, but those were two closeted gay superheroes, if there ever was one.
The ambiguously gay duo.
Yes.
I want to point that out, Lisa with one eye, because you posted the stuff on Instagram on the questionnaire and stuff like that, and she shot me a text with one of the cartoons, and I started laughing because I remember when that was on Saturday Night Live. I remember I came home, I spit my dinner, I was laughing.
Oh, that was
so
funny.
Hard. I actually,
oh god,
I gotta go Google them and see if I can find. They were hysterical.
So anyway, all right.
So funny.
All right, so
god, so funny.
You know, it's in how desperate like organizations like Newsmax are. I never worried about. I never thought about my superhero's political affiliation. I never wondered, is he a lib or is he for Reagan? It never crossed my mind. He's beating up the bad guys. They want to destroy the city. He's fighting it. But they're like, oh, we should have a conservative one. Oh, wait, but I'll get to that in a minute. And then this guy who's like trying to play the straight guy, and I don't know, he's not very muscular, and he's got tattoos and a mohawk. He's not my type at all. I don't know about a gay superhero, but there's a fucking gay newsman on my screen right now. Holy shit, dude. Why are you checking out this teen boy fucking drawing? Why are you that invested in this?
And well, it's just a lot of these people are complaining about it. Yeah, a lot of these people that are—they're worried about this. It's like, did they ever give a thought to Captain America before? I'm sure a lot of them did not.
I'll tell you one thing, Pip. As a news journalist, I find this new Captain America very hard to jerk off to. Not impossible, but very hard to jerk off to. I don't know what Marvel Comics is doing. I mean, really? This poses as news. This is what's taking viewers from Fox News. This type of hard-hitting journalism. He's just not muscular. And the tattoos, I must say, a bit gauche. I mean, for crying out loud.
It's amazing to me the bullshit that we look at on American news stations, whereas if you go to, say, BBC, and you look and see that there's a whole world out there with shit happening that affects us. And yet we're worried about what Captain America is, who he likes to sleep with, and what Mr. Potato Head is getting down with. Oh, my God.
What he does when he puts down his shield at night.
Well, it's like how many times have I said it? We're too soft. We don't have the fear of being eaten by a lion. We need that fucking fear. We need the fear of, oh shit, it's midnight, I gotta take a piss. I hope a lion doesn't bite my ass. We need that fear to fucking focus our attention. We're so soft. You know, listen, I'm not a fan of gay Captain America, and I don't like that mohawk. I mean, dude, check yourself. Check your fucking critiques. You could not sound more stereotypically gay than picking apart this teenage boy, you pedophile you. What is wrong with you? And Newsmax is airing this. These are our fucking heroes? Ugh. But anyway. Anyway, so I got to thinking, because again, they can't just do the story as awful as that is. Then they're like, we need a conservative superhero. And again, I never thought about whether my superheroes were conservative or liberal. But what, in today's conservative terms, what would that be like? Would they be shutting down Planned Parenthoods and ushering women into alleys to get an abortion? I am here. We shall shut down this Planned Parenthood. Here's a rusty hanger. I am saving the day.
Oh my God.
Drop that speculum. Drop your speculum, citizen. I am here. And we do that to the border and to build the wall.
What's this? What's this? Poor people are voting. Shut it down. I shall shut down these voting stations. I am a conservative superhero.
Conservative superhero. They hear Biden is going to stop working the wall, and meanwhile they go grab the steel and start fighting.
That's a conservative superhero. What are they going to be doing? I am here to save the day and the rights of big business. I am a conservative superhero.
Oh my gosh!
You are treating Amazon harshly. I know they pay no taxes, but if I don't defend them, conservative superhero, who will? The evil villainess AOC will get them. I shall defend you, Amazon.
How come he's not wearing a mask? Because he thinks it's bullshit.
What is this, poor people? You have health care? You don't need health care. I shall take it away from you. Get away from that Obamacare. It's filthy. I'm conservative superhero. I will take it away from you. Don't you worry. We have something better coming. Just wait a while.
Like, older people, you are just like sucking on the teat of America with your Social Security and Medicare. Get down there and build that wall, citizen.
Build that wall. And on that note, what's this? The libs are shutting the pipeline? I will finish the pipeline myself. I am conservative superhero. We shall have all the oil in the world.
Thank you, conservative superhero guy.
I'll tell you one thing about a conservative superhero guy. The outfits would be much less form-fitting. there's gonna be room in the crotch.
Yeah. It's always about the crotch.
Yeah, Yeah.
And if I have to wear one more shirt that's just like a metal chest plate pushing my boobs up to my neck, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's too much. It's too much. And then, and then she goes one step further. We need a Trump superhero. First of all, most Trumpsters think Donald Trump is a superhero. If you see, if you've seen the pictures they draw, he's on a he's on top of a tank. That motherfucker avoided tanks five fucking times. He's going nowhere near a tank. He's got all these muscles. Donald Trump does. The only muscle Donald Trump has is in his fucking tweeting fingers. He's got the eagle on his shoulder. Did you see the fucking video of the eagle attacking him in the office? But the Trumpster. Did you ever see? It's fucking hilarious. They should have done that and then have Biden fall up the fucking stairs like presidential outtakes. It would have been fucking hilarious.
Presidential follies.
That would be like the best video ever. President's just looking stupid. But anyway, I digressed.
Oh God, we have so much footage of that for the last how many years?
So I put some thought into this. What would a Trump supporting superhero be like? Citizens, and say, I don't work at the Daily Planet, and that Lois Lane is fake news. Pay no attention to the Daily Planet. would Trump supporting superhero grab Wonder Woman by the pussy? I'll be honest.
Just to check if it was WAP.
You know, and Trump supporting superhero, he's going to blame Batman for the COVID-19. You know, Batman was off doing shit in China, and he brought the Batman China virus back here. Don't trust that fucking Batman.
Dr. Fauci will play Alfred.
Yeah. First it spread it to Robin, and then it was around the world.
like when Trump supporting superhero was like under, was like when, you know, he's just an alias, you know, they all have their aliases like as a normal person. Do you think he's like out in the ocean with Don Jr. and Eric Trump hunt, like harpooning blue whales and just pouring sludge into the ocean just to make Aquaman cry?
Because he had a beef with Aquaman last year. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I'll tell you one thing. If Trump supporting superhero was not named leader of the Justice League of the Super Friends, he would have his Q morons attack the Justice League. There would be a march on the fucking Justice League in the fucking swamp. So I like And when Lex Luthor and the Joker attack Metropolis and Gotham City, instead of fighting them, would he try to make friends with, like, Lex Luthor and say, you know, Lex Luthor strongly denied he attacked Metropolis? You know, would he say the Riddler wrote him a very nice letter and now they love each other? Is that what Trump superhero would be? There wouldn't be any fighting. Why can't we all just get along? And he wouldn't have, like, a Batmobile. He'd, like, have a souped-up golf cart getting from crimes to crimes. I think his superpower would have to be like speed tweeting. He can like get out like 100 tweets a fucking minute or something, which I think is the superpower he has.
Yes.
And he would have to fire Commissioner O'Hara, because Commissioner O'Hara was the deep state. You know, he got to fire the commission.
That's Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, you're right. What is it? Sergeant O'Hara, Commissioner Gordon. You're right. See, Joe knows. But you know, here's the thing though. He'd like give interviews, and in every like interview, he'd say he's faster than Superman, smarter than Batman, more truthful than Wonder Woman in her lasso of truth. Like that, like Trump superhero would have to like always be fucking bragging. As a superhero, who's gonna argue? You just fucking agree.
I think Trump would be like Robin.
I think he likes the outfit.
Yeah. Yes, very much.
Well, if there was like an attack on the country, would he tell people to relax and tell him he's handling the situation, everything's going great, it'll be over soon? Don't worry, it'll be safe to go out by Easter. It's all going to be good.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's not even going to be safe to go out by this Easter.
I just think it's fucking ridiculous. They're talking about an absurd topic like a gay superhero, and then they have to go and make it more absurd. You know what we need? A Trump-supporting superhero. I just assume that if the president was the good guy, our superheroes always supported the president, no matter who it was. But no, we need a Trump-supporting superhero. Do we? Does that make the cult complete? Is that how it all works out if we have a Trump support? I mean, what is wrong with these fucking people? They're on a news station. It's in the fucking title. It says Newsmax.
It's in the title, so that makes it true.
It's
not like there's a Biden sticker on the Batmobile.
Biden! Joe Biden sees the bat signal, but it's after 10, so he's like, I'll deal with it tomorrow. It's bedtime.
Yeah, it's a waste. I got
cocoa.
I got what?
I got cocoa, he says.
Well, you, Joe, I know you're making a joke, but, you know, cocoa late at night is very delicious and soothing. So.
And once it's gotten cold, it's not quite the same thing.
No, now it's chocolate milk, and who wants that?
So you know what? So I tell you what, we're not goofing, we're commiserating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, really, really. Yes.
I mean, it's just fucking ridiculous.
My cocoa's gotten cold.
it's just fucking ridiculous how it always has to be. I know the right likes to say, oh, the left's obsessed with Trump. This has nothing to do with any fucking president. Like, you know what would be good? A Trump-supporting superhero. Can't you just attack the fictional teenage boy who's a superhero? Can't you just stick to that? Do you have to make it about Donald Trump? How ridiculous do we have to make it? Ugh.
Well, because whataboutism is now the favorite sport. It's like, but what about us? Calm yourself.
No. Yeah. Victimhood. We're all fucking victims. Everybody's a victim. The people who said something outrageous are victims. The people who were hurt by the outrageous thing are victims. The people who lost the outrageous thing that was taken away are victims. We're all just a fucking victims. We have the most powerful nuclear arsenal in the world, the longest fucking running democracy in the world, but we're all just a bunch of victims. Oh, my God. All right. Well, that was spirited. We'll take a break. And then we'll do some scamming scammers, do a nice little tight scamming scammers. On the break, we have new music from At Meg with Pale and Calvin Lauren with Right Now. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.